This is KDNK's local and regional news. I'm Lily Jones. Garfield, Eagle, and Pitkin counties are currently experiencing moderate to severe drought conditions as snowpack continues to lag behind previous years. Three snowstorms within 10 days are expected to usher in the new year, but it's unlikely that even those will return conditions to normal. It's too early to tell how much snow to expect exactly, but an expert with the National Weather Service told Colorado Public Radio this week that dry conditions and higher temperatures will likely persist into next week. The Trump administration's crackdown on DEI has expanded to gift shops in national parks. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KHOL's Sophia Boyd-Flagell reports.
The Trump administration ordered national park gift shops to remove items that promote, quote, diversity, equity, and inclusion, or gender ideologies. The Department of the Interior didn't answer KHOL's question on whether books of Wyoming history would be removed. It said a review of items is underway with park partners to, quote, ensure our gift shops remain neutral spaces that serve all visitors. Books on Heart Mountain, where the U.S. government forcibly sent Japanese Americans during World War II, are sold at stores in the park. Heart Mountain Wyoming Foundation Communications Director Ray Locker says it would be a loss if this regional history became less accessible.
So if that book happened to be removed from the shelves and from the store, I think that would be, you know, really a bad thing, and it would limit people's ability to find out more about this part of history, which happened, you know, just a few hours away from Grand Teton National Park.
The Center Museum is 15 minutes north of Cody. Locker says it has received, quote, nothing but support from Wyoming's elected officials. For KHOL News, I'm Sophia Boyd-Flegel.
In Colorado, solar energy is transcending political lines. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KOTO's Mason Osgood looks at how counties, developers, and utility companies are working with communities for an energy future.
Montrose, Colorado resident Wayne Urbanas says he used to be afraid of frogs because someone told him they gave people warts. After watching friends handle frogs without getting warts, Urbanas says this fear went away and he learned to love frogs. Urbanas says this fear of frogs is just like the fear of solar energy.
There's an unfounded belief in Montrose County that solar panels give us warts. And in desperation, despite overwhelming public support, there's an intention to play the role of frog remover. While I think in essence, what we should be doing is focusing on wart removal. As Commissioner Pond said about 20 minutes ago, we have a team of professionals that provide us with recommendations. So let's be frogs and take the leap towards community-supported solar initiatives. Let's go forth and prosper with Alternative One.
In 2023, Montrose County implemented a solar energy moratorium in response to a lack of local land use codes and expected influx of utility-scale solar projects. They weren't alone. Their neighbors in San Miguel County did the same as they hope to catch up and create new solar land use regulations for themselves. By November of 2023, 39 of Colorado's 64 counties had new solar land use regulations. The difference with Montrose County is that it remains the only county in Colorado with an existing moratorium. Despite a final draft of a solar land use code, county commissioners voted in July to extend the moratorium, claiming they'd like more public comment. Here's Montrose local Ken Norris on solar.
I love solar, but it has its place. It's unreliable. When you look at the future of Colorado Power, it's plan to shut down in the next 6 years all of our coal-fired power plants. They are reliable. They are dispatchable. They are over half of our reliable power supply. If we shut those down and if we keep putting unreliable power sources like solar, we're going to have blackouts. So I don't know where the tipping point is.
The challenges for solar start at a community level. Without local elected official support and community buy-in, solar doesn't get built. Casey Becker is the CEO of the Colorado Solar and Storage Association, or COSA, and says solar on the landscape takes getting used to.
I think as we continue to educate people that it takes more than supporting clean energy in the hypothetical, it takes supporting clean energy in reality. And that means, yes, you're going to have to see wind and solar panels. I love the way wind and solar look. I think it's, solar panels to me look like beautiful rippling lakes. And I hope more people come around to that because, you know, you don't even notice as much when you see utility poles. You don't notice as much when you're driving a highway. It just seems as a necessary thing. Well, renewable energy is a necessary thing. And we have to get used to the fact that it's going to show up in the landscape.
In a 2024 report from the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Colorado, it takes on average 4 to 5 years for a utility-scale solar project to go from permitting to operation. In Colorado, the county-by-county approach to solar land use has resulted in regulatory variance that presents a challenge to solar developers and interested landowners. There is now a patchwork of solar policy across Colorado, whether it's a solar moratorium in Montrose, restrictive land use codes to the south in San Miguel County, or it's open for business in Delta County. There's not always a clear path. Where then is solar working? For Dustin Mulvaney, a professor of environmental studies at the University of San Jose, he says there's still going to be places without solar.
I think being attuned to the community's needs and understanding the dynamics there are crucial. And there are going to be places in the United States that are just going to be no to solar.
For Professor Mulvaney, it comes down to values.
I think, you know, what Southwest Colorado is different than Imperial County, which is different than Kern County, which is different than, you know, you name it, Esmeralda County. Like, these are all very, very different places, and people value different things about those places. So you have to be conscious of, like, where you're going and the communities that are there. Just the context is really, really important. Like, prime farmland in Nebraska is going to be different than retired agricultural land because you've salt contaminated your soil. And you have no more water, actually, because you're overdrafting the Colorado River in California.
One community that is working towards solutions is La Plata Electric Association, or LPEA, a utility co-op that serves the greater Durango region. Chris Hansen is the CEO of LPEA and says,
you know, I think you first start by listening and learning, really trying to understand, you know, what are the important priorities of a particular county or particularly part of a county.
LPEA made headlines when their members agreed to buy out a 50-year wholesale power contract with Tri-State Energy. Starting next year in April, LPEA is on their own. They must produce and distribute their own power. For Hansen, this means flexibility.
One of the great things about joining the RTO is I can now buy wind and solar and storage and geothermal and hydro from all over the
electric utilities.
Lots of new options on the table. We're going to be creative problem solvers and put together the best portfolio we can for our members.
Now, without limits on renewable energy generation, LPEA is studying how much local solar generation is too much for their own grid to handle. Hansen says when their contract buyout is finalized next April, LPEA's wholesale power costs will drop about 10%. For Hansen, success looks like collaboration of where to put electrical infrastructure.
There's no doubt about it. As the power co-op, everybody wants 100% power reliability, and nobody wants a power line or substation anywhere near them. I get it. That is normal sort of reaction, and it's really just making sure we can balance out the two imperatives. We got to build some things to have good service. But we also want to make sure we're putting them in the right place.
LPEA plans to get half of its energy from renewable sources after its contract buyout. This includes an LPEA-owned 1.7-megawatt community solar array in Durango or the 110-megawatt Dolores Canyon solar project in Dolores County. Hansen says he stays optimistic about meeting energy goals for demand and cost in the future. For KOTO Radio, I'm Mason Osgood.
That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio. Tomorrow, we bring you the last part in this series on solar power when Mason Osgood shares how one man has taken solar energy into his own hands. This is KDNK News.